Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we are in the Gift of Faith module, which is one of my favorite modules when it comes specifically concerning the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's open in a word of prayer, and then let's get into this study. Heavenly Father, we thank you for faith, and Lord, we desire to increase and to grow in faith in order to please you. So, Father, we thank you. Open our ears to hear, open our eyes to see, and our heart to receive in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we desire this. Father, as we go into this study, we desire the gift of faith. And, Father, not just for ourselves, but for the body of Christ around the earth. Father, we desire this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Howard Carter defined the gift of faith as a supernatural operation of the Holy Spirit in the experience of the possessor, which enables him to sustain an unwavering trust in God for his personal protection and for the provision of his needs. It would seem that in some very exceptional instances, it enables its possessor to trust God for bodily transportation, or it may be used for the pronouncement of some special blessing upon another. Lester Sumrall continues. He says, "We observe the gift of faith in operation when God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, performs supernatural exploits for a human when there is no human strength or intelligence involved. In this gift, God does something supernaturally for you." And I love those definitions. As we get into this, I'm going to endeavor through this manual is to kind of break apart what they're saying and make it clear to you. And then once we get into the book of Acts and look at each example, I think it's going to be very clear what the gift of faith is and why we need to desire it. So let's continue. The gift of faith is the first of the three gifts of power. The primary operation of this gift in the recipient is to receive God's ability working on their behalf. Biblical examples of this gift in operation have brought supernatural supply, such as manna in the wilderness, or bread and flesh flown in by ravens. Also, a widow's meal never ran out because of a command that came from heaven and not from the prophet. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 4, we see an example where the Lord speaks to Elijah and he says, "Listen, I have commanded the ravens, they're going to feed you." And then in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 19, he says, "I've commanded a widow to sustain you." And so in both cases, you see the power of God's faith in operation. And as we go on, you're going to see it more clearly. Now, throughout Scripture, it would seem that the primary purpose of this gift of power, is for protection and or for deliverance. Obviously, supernatural provision would fall into either of these two categories. Let me pause there. A financial need can be so serious that if something doesn't change, you'll be destroyed. Well, that's the same as either protection or deliverance. And so we see that provision can be very much on the same page as protection and deliverance. So think about that. Concerning protection, we see the three Hebrew children not delivered from the fiery furnace, but rather protected while they were in it. Daniel chapter 3, and that's verses 20 to 25. In this case, God's provision of protection was so perfect that their clothes did not smell of smoke, nor was their hair singed by the fire. In fact, They had to be invited to come out of the furnace. Now, that is some power. First of all, when you read the story, the soldiers that Nebuchadnezzar ordered, throw those guys in, they were the strongest soldiers he had in the army. And as soon as they got up there in order to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, they died. But they died as they were pushing those men in. And then all of a sudden, those men were dancing and walking around in the fire with a fourth man. That deliverance was perfect. The danger that confronted these three young men was beyond what their personal trust in God could have handled. You don't have personal faith on that kind of level. It takes an extra supernatural move of God in order to come in and to assist. And that's what we're saying here. Those men had faith in God, but it wasn't their own personal daily faith that they lived and served the Lord and loved the Lord. That's not the faith that came into operation here. And therefore, listen to this. God's special faith, administrated by the angel, came with great power and glory, preserving their lives. Though their faith in God was operating, it was God's special faith that came down upon them that actually quenched the violence of the fire. And now we have to, let me just stress this, and we're going to hit this over and over. It takes faith to please God. And it also takes faith to operate in all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. There has to be in a believer's life, you have to be walking with the Lord, using your faith. And in that, then God couples the gifts of the Holy Spirit into your operation of faith. That's why when Peter was walking on the water, all of a sudden he stopped using his faith. And because of that, he was pulled out of that powerful working of miracles that he was operating in. So it did require his faith, his personal faith. And so these young men were using their faith. They were thrown into that fiery furnace. But then God's faith came down and joined and actually quenched the violence of the fire. So let's go on. Concerning Elijah, it was noted of him that there had been on certain occasions when the Spirit of the Lord carried him away. This catching away, while Ahab searched for him, would be classified as a deliverance from evil. Elijah had no ability to translate himself. He simply received it done. That's 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 12. And it says, "And it shall come to pass, as soon as I'm gone from you, that the Holy Spirit is going to carry you where I don't know." That's powerful. Now, a further example of this gift of faith is clearly seen in the life of Daniel. Daniel, when thrown into the den of lions, received God's power protecting him. On the other hand, Samson, when confronted by a lion, received God's power to kill it. Daniel was operating in the gift of God's special faith, which is a receiving gift, while Samson was operating in the working of miracles he was doing. Is there a difference between the fruit of faith mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and the gift of God's special faith mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9? Yes, by virtue of their names. The fruit of faith is a faith that is built by hearing the word of God and allowing his word to grow in us, developing our trust in him. That means there's time involved, okay? This type of faith has a process to it, and it's likened to a seed planted. Once planted, it begins to grow, and when it matures, it ripens with fruit, okay? So it's very powerful. The fruit of faith is powerful. There's no boundaries on it, but it takes time. In the world that we live in, You sit down with the Bible, you spend time with the Lord, and you begin to get that word in you. You begin to meditate it. You begin to speak it, and it's getting in you stronger and stronger. Okay. It's ripening. That's what that means. The gift of faith, not like that. It comes immediately perfected with everything that heaven needed in it in order to accomplish the will of God. So that's, it's faith, but it comes straight from God and it's perfect. It's already matured and it has everything it needs in the power of God to bring the advantage. Okay. Now let's continue. Scripture references four kinds of faith the believer has access to as they endeavor to please the Lord. The first would be saving faith, Ephesians 2 verse 8. The second is the fruit of faith. That's Romans 10, verse 17. The third type of faith comes by association. Paul reminded Timothy of the faith he received from his grandmother and his mother. That's 2 Timothy 1, verses 5 through 7. The fourth operation of faith is the gift or the charisma of the Holy Spirit called faith, which in this study I will often refer to it as God's special faith, a faith that's coming directly from God. Okay? This faith comes directly from God and operates as the Holy Spirit wills. That's 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 and verses 11. It comes perfect and mature and full of power. This special faith is given to accomplish a specific purpose, and in certain situations, angels are assigned to its operation. That's Hebrews 1, verse 14. Are not the angels ministering spirits sent from the throne of God to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And now the word salvation means healing. It means deliverance. So it's not just talking about forgiveness of sins. These angels are sent from God's throne to bring healing and deliverance. Very powerful. The gift of faith has no time barrier associated with it. In comparison to the working of miracles, the gift of faith can operate instantly, like a lightning flash at the rapture of the church, and that's Matthew 24, verse 27, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, or it can operate over a determined scope of time, such as was the case with the provision of manna for 40 years in the wilderness. In the Old Testament, we see the impartation of blessing empowered by God's special faith in Abraham by the priest Melchizedek. This blessing, wrapped in the power of God, has carried the Jewish nation over the course of thousands of years and is still at work today. On the other hand, Christ, who is a type of Melchizedek, through this special operation of faith, administers this blessing to his body as a double blessing of power. Now, you got to I'm stressing that. You got to underline it. It's a double blessing of power. Isaiah 61, 7, the Lord says there's a double blessing. John 1, verse 16, he's talking about grace filling grace. That means grace upon grace. I mean, grace in the Old Testament was powerful, but in the New Testament, grace gets filled with grace. And it just makes you really meditate this. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, so you got to go in, you got to look at the blessing of Abraham and how this is all working. This New Testament blessing on both Jewish and Gentile believers is the key facet denoting the church age. At the rapture of the church, this charisma operation of faith, God's special faith, will catch the church up to the Lord in the air. In an atomic second, in my opinion, of the three gifts of power, this operation is the greatest. So now let's go into the actual examples in the book of Acts. Let's go Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, And you got to get ready for this because there's going to be some exciting things we're going to be looking at here. Number one, the gift of faith. Jesus received up into heaven. That's Acts 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they were beholding, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And what you want to do, you want to circle the word taken and the word received. In this operation, Jesus simply received the power of the Holy Spirit, translating him back to the throne of God. He was taken, and a cloud received him. Jesus received the power of the Holy Spirit, removing him from their sight and seating him back at the right hand of God. Remember, with this gift of faith, God's power is received and not worked. Heaven works, we receive. In this passage, a cloud of glory took Jesus up. The angels then said to the disciples, "As he went, so shall he come." It is this operation or gift of God's special faith that will rapture the church in a twinkling of an eye. Just as he went, in the power of the glory of God's special faith working, so shall he come and catch away the church. You got to take time to meditate on that. I mean, this is amazing. Jesus didn't fly up to heaven on his own. No, he just submitted, and the power of God came and took him, and he just received it. He was received up. And so very powerful to meditate on that. Let's go to number two, the gift of faith. Jesus baptizes 120 disciples in the Holy Spirit. And as we get into this, I'm going to reiterate it. The baptism of the Holy Spirit can be an impartation of blessing. We talked about Abraham and the power of God that went from generation to generation, and that's upon the Jewish nation. That's why the Jewish nation has never disappeared. It's still flourishing in the earth, and it's because of this gift of God's faith in that blessing given to Abraham that's keeping them alive. Let's look at this. On the first day of the church, this baptism of power was administered by Christ himself to his body. No man was involved. One operation of the gift of faith is in the impartation of blessing. Just as the priest Melchizedek blessed Abraham, so now Christ, our high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, blesses, or spiritually empowers, the church. And that's really what the blessing is. It's a spiritual empowerment to prosper. And so think about that. So my final thought, when Israel crossed the Red Sea, it became a type of baptism, both of water and of the Holy Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. The Bible says that the Lord looked out from the cloud and the pillar of fire and began fighting on Israel's behalf. That's Exodus 14, verse 24. He was there in the cloud, present with them. So it must have been on the day of Pentecost that as the cloud of glory filled the upper room, that Jesus stepped out into their midst and began to lay his hands upon them, saturating them in the promise of the Father. That's John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. And I really want you to think about that. That experience of crossing the Red Sea, it was a baptism. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that it was a baptism not only of water, but of the Holy Spirit. And when they got to the other side, Joshua and Caleb, you're like, how did they get such dynamic faith? Well, they were walking in that spirit of faith. When they came out of Egypt through the blood and then crossed that sea as a type of baptism, their faith, they were just receiving the power of God imparting into their lives. And that's just amazing. Let's go on to number three. Gift of faith, the church in prayer receives boldness. Acts 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Note, Acts chapter 4 introduces the first episode of persecution against the church. When confronted with such hatred and threats, the apostles decided not to back away in timidity from the Lord's commission to preach. They took their stand in prayer, and when they had finished praying, the power of God fell upon that place. The Lord was standing with them, and when his power fell, the house where they had been gathered shook, and they were all filled with fresh boldness. So many miracles we forsake when we look back away from the gospel as oppositions arise. The gift of faith is an operation of the Holy Spirit that imparts such blessing of bold power into Christ's followers facing such tremendous opposition or danger. The gift of faith, releasing such bold confidence as seen in this passage, is a part of the blessing that Jesus declared upon those who are persecuted for his namesake. And that's Matthew 5, verse 11. I believe that this operation of power is actually working in the church, flowing from the constant intercession of Christ for his people. Luke 22, 32, that your faith not fail. And that's the Lord. I mean, he is praying for us. He is praying that our faith wouldn't fail, that something wouldn't come in and cause us to grow weary and just stop, you know, believing, stop having that victory. And so that's powerful, boldness. Now, let's go to number four, the gift of faith. This operation of God's power removes lack. Acts 4, verses 33 to 34. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them, and they brought the price of the things that were sold. Note, in the wilderness the children of Israel had no need to provide for their own food. They simply received it done for them. Daily over the course of 40 years. It was in the operation of God's special faith that provided for their every need. As it was in the Old Testament, so it is in the New Testament. The Lord changes not. The book of Exodus and Acts have many correlations of how God manifested his power on behalf of those he redeems. The key to this passage is in the phrase, great grace was upon them all. This grace operates under the power of God's special faith. It is also important to note that certain gifts or graces can be imparted to the whole and not just to the one. This congregation corporately carried this operation of faith, not just the apostles. The goal of the church is not just to have anointed preachers who have gifts and operations of God working in and through them, but rather to have congregations of people that house these special graces and carry them to a lost and dying world. The latter is truly a greater threat to darkness than the individual minister could ever be. Romans 1, verse 11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established." And so here we see that Paul's like, hey, I can come and God can impart these gifts into you. And he wanted to come. He was like, I want to come at the right time. It's going to happen. And I'm going to come and be with you. And so it's very, very, very powerful. And so, you know, let's just pause there. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've heard. We're going to apply ourselves in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen. Now, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.